Good morning, everyone, to the Housing
and Transportation
Committee meeting, Thursday, January 13, 2022. I'm Sandy Stang, and the meeting will be recorded. And now that we've called the meeting to order, we're going to do the pledge, and Charlene's going to lead us this morning.
Thank you, Chair. Please stand as you're able. Stand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Then Linda, if you'd like to do the roll call, and then after roll call, we should probably all mute ourselves.
Okay, now I'm unmuted, got my roll sheet. Thank you very much, Desiree, for sending a new one to me. Okay, Charlene Aberdorf?
Ashendorf, present.
Ashendorf, thank you. I'm present. Denise Barnes?
Present.
Thank you, Denise. Elizabeth Busick?
Present.
Thank you. Helen Cameron. I thought I saw Helen. Helen Cameron. Okay, she sometimes pops on late. Amelia Castro.
Present.
Thank you. Jerry Chang.
Present.
And Jean was here and will try to come back. Juno Kim.
Yeah, I am here.
Thank you. Jeanette Ravilla.
Present.
Thank you. Amina Sen Matthews.
Amina actually changed to a different committee effective.
Okay. Okay, that's why she's blocked out here. Okay, thank you. Sandy Stang?
Present.
Is present. Thank you. Dave Tesloff is an excused absence. And Cynthia Thacker?
Hi, everybody, here.
Thank you, Cynthia. Okay, that is our roll call. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then we'll go to item number four, which is the senior non-emergency medical transportation update.
Hello, everyone. Good morning and happy new year. let me just see if we can put that up on the screen first, if you don't mind, Desiree. Let me know. If not, I can share it, Desiree. Oh, you're muted. Sorry.
Can you go ahead and share it on your end?
Sure, sure. Will do. Okay. And please let me know if you're able to see it.
We can.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Perfect. So we have the report here from October. And I apologize if I am cutting out, just let me know. I'm not sure if, if my audio is coming through fine, but just let me know if I'm cutting out, okay? So the total trips provided under Area 1 in October were 2,820 trips. Area 2 served 2,524 trips, and Area 3 had 4,665 trips. The average cost per trip under Area 1 in October was $49.14. Area 2 was $45.63. And Area 3 is $43.01. The average trip length for Area 1 is 5.81 miles. Area 2 was 8.44 miles. And Area 3 is 5.10 miles. And the average cost per mile for Area 1 is $8.46. Area 2 is $5.41, and Area 3 is $8.44. And just as a quick information, I did check the Federal Transportation Authority mask mandates, and I think they've been extended through March, if I'm not mistaken, or February. So, middle of March. So we are abiding by those. We're still asking people to mask up and providing them with masks if they are being transported to and from their medical appointments. And that's all I have for the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. One more thing. We are getting ready to release the customer service satisfaction survey for this program. Our intention is to release it by the end of January, and we are going to keep it open for 2 months. You have the option, of course, to either use it, use SurveyMonkey, or send it back to us by mail, or call our information and assistance call center to have us help you navigate through and or respond to the survey. We are sending it out to everyone who's all the active clients who have taken a trip from July of this fiscal year, so July 2021 to present. So more on that once it gets released and gets tabulated. Of course, at the end of the year, I usually share at the end of the fiscal year, I usually share like a little infographic to let you all know what the results of the customer satisfaction survey is. So that's all I have for the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation. I believe Charlene has a question.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Since I'm the maybe one of the newest members here, when you say that the survey is going out to every customer, is that directly to them, or is that through senior centers, or could you just explain that a little bit more?
Sure. And that's actually a really good question, Charlene. They are going directly to the clients. Okay. So we actually have three for areas 1 and 3, which is North County and Central West County. We actually send the surveys in 3 different languages, all in one packet. And they all have like a prepaid postage to return back to us. And for Area 2, we send it in English, but there's a blurb under the cover letter that says that there's Spanish and Vietnamese translation available. For South County, they just need to call our office.
Okay, and then thank you. That does help a lot. Then one other clarification. Now, do you provide these reports quarterly or monthly, or how are they, or is there a recap that will be sent to show over the course of the year how the trips, the total number of trips?
For the customer satisfaction survey, it's a yearly report that I send out to, or I share with the committee. I also do a yearly report as to how many trips were provided, etc. But that's probably going to be at the end of the fiscal year, so around maybe technically the beginning of next fiscal year already, because it takes us a while to reconcile all that. Yeah.
Thank you. That answers my question.
No problem. Does anyone else have a question? Okie dokie. I will stop sharing my screen and just let me know. I'll stay through the rest of the meeting and let me know if you have any questions that pop up later. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jeanette. Elizabeth is the speaker on the screen.
Yashan, are you there? I don't see you. There you are. Okay. We are very fortunate to have. Do you pronounce your name Yashan?
It's Zeeshan.
Zeeshan. And Helen's here too. We're fortunate to have Zeeshan back because he spoke to us about this. You probably recall if you were here, this incredible senior. What do you call it? Living I mean, it was fantastic. And it got voted down by the city council. So we had talked about our previous meeting last year, wouldn't it be nice to hear how something that outstanding could be voted down? So Zeeshan, there are new members here, so maybe you could bring everybody up to date as to what your proposal was about.
Absolutely, I'm happy to do that. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Chair and Advisory Council members, for allowing me the opportunity to come back and speak to you all. So I'll give a quick refresher on this project. And I, once again, I'm Zeeshan Yunus from Kurt Pringle and Associates. We do government relations and public affairs based out of Anaheim. We were helping this developer, Alliance Residential Company, with a memory care and assisted living facility in Anaheim Hills. It was a two-story, beautiful project, over 100 units, very, very low impact. We went above and beyond to work with city staff to get a shining endorsement from them. They supported the project wholeheartedly. They recommended to the Planning Commission for approval, recommended to City Council for approval. It was a memory care and assisted living project that actually had no vehicle impact. It was negligible. Done with our traffic study, we found out that we were increasing the number of trips to that site by less than 50 per day. So if any of you are familiar with land development, you can recognize that that's literally minuscule. So we worked on that project for about 18 months, and that's how Elizabeth and I got connected. I wanted to bring it to your attention collectively because we felt that, you know, having this project for seniors would be a really important part of the next phase in their life, because what we've been finding is, you know, seniors have to leave the neighborhoods that they have kind of called home for so long because they don't have adequate places to enter into the next phase of care for their life. So, you know, when you have to move to assisted living and memory care, you don't have many options in Orange County, especially if you want a certain quality of life. So with all that being said, you know, we worked on this project and you know, city staff, as I mentioned, was incredibly helpful in getting us across the finish line. We did eventually run into some issues with, I would say, six or seven fence line homeowners that were just on the other side of the property that were opposed to this project with every fiber of their being. Most of them, I would say 90% of them, told me from day one, I don't care what you build here. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who it's serving. If you build anything in my backyard that's different from what I have now, I will oppose it with every bone in my body. And to their credit, that is exactly what they did do. You know, they camped out on the site overnight. They built structures on the property. They held demonstrations on the property. They called out the local news channel. I would say that there was probably a collective of about 20 very vocal voices that were opposed to the project. And we had, unfortunately, working from home and my dog is feeling a little bit frustrated this morning, it sounds like. So at the end of the day, you know, what kind of happened here was a few things. There were a few moving pieces, and one was that, you know, the city councils are not built, in my opinion, they don't support this specific community. Senior citizens are not prioritized when it comes to being able to voice your opinion at a council meeting. So our council meeting for our decision started at 5:30 p.m. and our public comment section did not start until roughly 11 p.m. that same evening, which means that people that were there to support the project and talk on its behalf had to sit in the city council chamber for 6 hours before they were able to talk about its importance and why it was crucial. And we had maybe 15 or 16, 70 and 80 year olds who just weren't able to stay that long. I mean, they left and their voices weren't heard the way that they needed to be. It seems like the city council really prioritizes warm bodies over letters, over petitions, over emails. We had a petition of over 900 people that signed in support of the project versus a petition that had about 500 that were opposed to it. And still, because we didn't have enough warm bodies in the room, you know, I do think that swayed the council's decision. And this is neither an endorsement or speaking out against districts, but when you have a city like Anaheim with a section like Anaheim Hills, and you have a district representative that represents District 6, and you also have a mayor that represents the district and is also from that same part, you know, you have the potential opportunity for 20 or 30 very vocal residents to really hijack two votes from the city council, right? I mean, they can say, listen, you know, you are representing District 6 and you're also the mayor and you're from District 6 as well. So you have two votes all of a sudden who are really concerned about what these 20 or 30 people are saying, rather than maybe what the collective consensus of what the city of Anaheim might feel in regards to this project. As I mentioned, you know, this was a project that the Planning Commission approved and respected the city staff's endorsement and recommendation. And when it went to city council, I do believe that it failed because of a campaign of misinformation that came across from the opposition, as well as genuinely just hateful rhetoric. I Elizabeth, I may have emailed you a picture of this, but there were signs that the opposition put together that said no senior care in Anaheim Hills, and the signs had flames all over them. So those communications were really talking about how senior citizens were, if they were in memory care, could potentially be psychotic, could potentially break out of their rooms and break into other people's homes, how they could, you know, speak to these people's children, how, you know, if they got their hands on some vehicle, they could drive their car into oncoming traffic. I mean, these were all things that are part of the public record that were said on behalf of this project in saying that they don't want senior citizens of a certain age in their backyard. So when looking to recap why I think this didn't go through, I think it's a mixture of people don't want change to happen in their backyard under any circumstance, especially if you're in a more conservative leaning city. And secondarily, I don't think that the structure of modern day city councils allow the opportunity for people from all walks of life to really support projects unless they have the capability to sit in a room for 7 hours and deal with that. So I hope that provides a little bit of an encapsulation of where we are today and how we got there. But, you know, I think we activated all of the right groups. We had a very vocal support system. Like I said, we had a petition with over 900 signatures. We had city staff support. We had the Planning Commission support, and we lost our vote by only one. So it was an unfortunate turnout. And now I don't believe that this developer would ever work in the city of Anaheim again, which is very sad news, because it was an incredibly beautiful building and a very caring developer who really wanted to support this community.
Thank you, Zeeshan. There probably are lots of questions, particularly from people who are brand new. Does anyone have any questions for Zeeshan? I would like for you to see how beautiful it was. And there are pictures. Is there anyone who's new who would like to see? I mean, it was exquisite. You couldn't ask for a nicer, more beautiful place. And yet it was voted down. So anyway, if you'd like it, I can forward it to you.
Thank you. I thought it would be good to have a follow-up because we were most curious. And we also wanted to see if we could somehow put this into one of our goals this year, Zeeshan, because we thought that was, like Elizabeth said, a beautiful project. And some of the issues seem very, very minor compared to what you could build there with a lot of traffic, as you were saying.
So I Denise has a question.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Zeeshan. Former City Council Anaheim for District 1, which I am way on the west side. I am on this committee because I fully believe in seniors in any regard. I think myself was the only person ever to have a senior devotion during my 4 years. And I'm so sorry that this went down in flames, as you say. Yes, the city councils can be very divisive, special interests take over, but you're right. The perception is if people show up, then I have good standing if I vote their way. But I understand that people's perception regarding anything in the Hills is got to be according to the CUP. And if it doesn't fit their matrix, then don't rock the ship. But I do have to say that I did see the presentation and I did hear both sides. And I'm just sorry that it didn't come to fruition because, as you say, you worked on this for 18 months. That means a lot of staff and a lot of time. And with such a divisive community, that just shows you how things move so slow in the county due to prejudice or perception. Again, so sorry. Thank you.
No, thank you, council member, for not only your service, but for maintaining your perspective on the future of Anaheim and what it should look and feel like. And your leadership has been, I've been an Anaheim resident my entire life. I was born and raised here. So, you know, I do remember when the city was moving forward and prioritizing projects like this. And I look forward to a time and place where it happens again soon.
Okay, anything else? Oh, we got a hand from, I think it's Charlene.
Thank you, Chair. What a wonderful presentation. I have to tell you, my heart breaks, but at the same time, it lights a fire under me, and I hope it lights the fire under this committee and everyone to go back into their community, especially now that the cities are addressing their housing elements. We need to do whatever we can to educate the community and be a voice for those who cannot speak. So thank you. You have lit a fire under me, and I appreciate that.
Helen has her hand up.
If there's any
objections, Helen, are you muted?
I'm ready now.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much for giving us those very specific insights. As part of my role in Jamboree, we do a lot of community outreach regarding these kinds of communities. What you were describing was certainly needed and beautiful, and it seemed like it was, from what you said, that it was really, those perspectives from the neighbors that really undermined the opportunity for it to go forward. As most of you probably know, there are a number of there's a brand new senior community on Lincoln, which is beautiful, and it's for special needs clients. So certain communities in Anaheim are very welcoming of some of these options. But I think what the big issue is, and it's potentially the role for us to become effective advocates when these kind of communities are brought forward, you know, knowing that it was a very much regional decision, maybe we can educate the neighbors about what the realities are. I mean, I certainly understand why people don't want something next to them, regardless of the reason. But we went through this with one of the most difficult communities in Anaheim that we built 11 years ago, which is 25 units for formerly homeless, chronically homeless folks with a mental health diagnosis. We had hundreds of people at the meeting in opposition. But if the city council will stand up for what's needed, I think you can change people's minds. And maybe if their minds aren't changed, when it's built, they will see that this has not had the effect in their neighborhood. I recall my daughter and husband live in Napa, and there was an unused school site behind them, and they were very involved in modifying the community, and the community was responsive to putting in fewer homes there. And when I look back over the decade that those homes have been there, it had no negative impact on the community. So I think we can show that these kind of communities end up being a benefit, and that's a significant role for our committee.
Sandy, if I could weigh in real quick.
Sure.
And thank you for letting me jump back in. I think Helen's spot on. I think it's a little harsh to say, well, the Anaheim Council had no backbone or did. You know, let me tell you, when you're sitting in that position and there is not one resident out of the 50 or so in that whole immediate area that wanted it, that's a problem. And it's hard to go against that, especially since you're now in districts, that district council person is going to have more sway over the council. And the problem was, and I think it is one of educating the group to say, hey, look, this is a good thing and it's needed and here's why. And by the way, you've already got the church there, the footprint's already there. It was a mass hysteria that was more effective than common sense and facts. So I think more time needs to be spent on the ground educating the surrounding neighborhood. That's my two cents.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
This is Amelia, and I'm going to agree with Jean. It's just going to take more educating the community, and you can't put it on the city council, and the development also got a no vote from Jose Moreno. That's not in that district, so it's not so much that it's because it was in Trevor or the mayor's district. It's the education of educating the community, and it was a beautiful project. And Anaheim does have great senior projects that are up and coming and that have just opened up.
And if I may, and thank you all for those comments. And if I may just speak a little bit about the community outreach. You know, we spent, I would say, 14 months talking to community members. You know, we spoke to KTLA, we spoke to many council, you know, advisory councils nearby. We did many workshops online. We did mailers. That's how we were able to gain the organic 900 people that were in support of the project. What we run into, and as it was a kind of mentioning during my earlier point, is when you have that mass hysteria of people who are opposed to change and who will tell you, no matter what, doesn't matter what you build here, I am telling you, you're at my door. It's the first time we're meeting. I will never support your project if it impedes my view or if it changes what I perceive to be the quality of my life. And I'm going to tell every single person I meet with for the rest of the 18 months that this will be the case. Those people have a fire under them, and they will sit in a city council chamber for 6.5 hours to speak their piece. You know, I think that we had probably about 65 or 70 people that were willing to speak in support of the project, who by the end of the night just weren't able to stay as long. So when I talk about the war of attrition and the warm bodies, that's really to me what it comes down to. If we had 40 people that came and spoke on behalf of the project rather than the 13, I believe, that were able to hang out It ended up being 13 versus about 35, if I remember correctly. And that's really what it came down to. You know, we had a lot of people sending emails, a lot of people calling, a lot of people reaching out to council members. And specifically a council member, like I think Jose Moreno, had an issue with the price point of the memory care and assisted living facility, and was advocating for a more affordable position. And when we had broached that to members of the community who were opposed to the project initially, they said, oh, well, it's even worse if you bring in an affordable living community, because, you know, if it's luxury and we still have to worry about accidents and crime and people breaking out of memory care, if it's affordable, it's even going to be worse. So we were really in a tough spot where there was no reasoning with the opposition, even though I had spent, you know, over a year meeting with them individually, walking the site with them, having hand-in-hand council meetings with them as well. So I just want all of you to understand that we don't take outreach lightly at all. It was something that we started well before our client actually even submitted a package. We went door to door knocking, talking to these individuals, asking them what they felt about it. And that's kind of how we ended up getting where we ended up. But I just want this whole group to know that we spent about a year and a half on the ground with these community members. And unfortunately, their perspective the entire way was, you know, if saying that fire is an issue and it doesn't get me traction, then I'll switch to traffic being an issue. Traffic doesn't give me, you know, any traction, then I'll switch to crime. If crime doesn't give me any traction, then I'll switch to quality of life or property rights or property values. It really is a lot of NIMBYism, unfortunately. And we hope that, as Helen mentioned, when these projects do eventually get approved and are built and people do see that their quality of life isn't changed and rather it is improved, that they feel a little bit more comfortable putting parts of themselves on the line to support a better future for the city. My perspective with meeting with a lot of these residents was, hey, in 10 or 15 years, when you can't live in your home anymore, you're gonna have to move out of Anaheim Hills, this community that you say you love and have grown up in and care about more than anything. You won't have anywhere to enter into the next phase of your life if you need care. And even that message didn't really resonate with them. So I just want to let everyone know that those were things that we thought about, that we talked to them about. We did compromise. We changed our footprint. We lowered our density. We changed our height limitations. We fell within all of the city code and ordinances. We didn't require a variance outside of parking, which all senior living communities do across the board. So just a little bit more context there that I think may be helpful.
Thank you so much, Zeeshan. We really appreciate your speaking to us today.
Yeah, so it was a really good follow-up and recap. Thank you, Elizabeth, for organizing that. I thought it was really important that we find out we're going to be an active committee. You know, what do we need to know? What can we do? Thank you very much.
Thank you all for the opportunity. And I very much hope to speak to you all in the future about other projects that that we're looking to develop. Thank you.
Look forward to hearing from you again. Okay, great, Elizabeth, thank you. The next item, we're gonna work on our goals. And Elizabeth, and not to put you on the spot, but I know you have to leave early. Would you like to go first? So we're trying to come up with good goals, obviously. And I think last year, somehow they came off our agenda and we used to have them on there. So kind of a reminder, and I checked with Desiree and she said we could put them back on there. So unless anyone's opposed to that, I'd like them to be on the agenda so we're reminded of what they are. So would you mind going first, Elizabeth?
Okay. For the transportation goal, reading my handwriting is a little tricky. Seniors and disabled individuals' access to transportation to medical services located in rural, desert, and mountain area of energy renewal using the renewal vehicles and money to come from electronic programs. I don't think I'm making myself real clear here.
So you're saying the people that are disabled in a rural area, somehow we should be using the electrical or the, I forget another word for electrical, but energy conscious. How about energy conscious? Energy conscious vehicles? Is that what you're saying?
Right. So what do I have here? So in rural, desert, and mountain areas through the use of energy renewal vehicles.
Okay, that's
and
good.
Money to come from electronic programs or electric programs. So we're just not talking any old vehicles.
Okay.
And then the other one was the housing goal, affordable housing for the elderly, and then home sharing arrangement. I think home sharing arrangement is fantastic. When I lived in Santa Cruz, I shared a home with an elderly lady. She was, we just couldn't have hit it off better. I mean, it was fantastic. I shall always remember Nina. So I think the home sharing thing and just affordable housing for the elderly. But I mean, how are we going to do that?
Right.
But supporting it. But Helen had her hand up.
Helen has her hand up.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the process that we're going through today, given that I'm not aware of what, I know we have the master plan on aging, and there are components about housing that address transportation. What is the overall committee, the executive committee, what are their goals relating to this? Because I think we need to be choosing ones that supplement what's being put out in the local plan. And honestly, I don't know what the local plan is relating to housing. I mean, I came up with a very generic one on housing. Every older adult in Orange County will be offered resources to be stably housed. But how are we as a committee going to become advocates for those kind of solutions? How are we working within the system in the county? So it may be premature for us to dig down to the level of detail, such as is represented in Elizabeth's concepts, because they're much broader. But why don't we look at the master plan on aging and choose some of those priorities that make sense locally? And, you know, I think there are a lot of them that would make sense to customize. So I guess I'm struggling with that process today.
Sure, I appreciate that. Well, Cynthia's hand's up, but I was going to ask Elizabeth, because you were on the committee last year, and didn't each committee come up with their goals, and then the big group chooses from those goals? Isn't that how you did it last year, Elizabeth?
It is, but I think Helen's point is very well taken. I mean, we're sort of trying to swim, and we don't know where we're going.
All right, let's see what Cynthia has to say.
Okay.
Well, okay, the goals and master plan have been sent out, if we read our information last year. And yeah, I was part of making the goals. We have to remember, you keep calling about us being advocates. We just suggest things that the supervisors can initiate or the state can. We cannot change, and we cannot go out and hold a picket sign and tell what we're going to do. So the goals, yes, you know, it's just an idea that we might be conceivable, and things like, and I remember, I think it was Elizabeth last year talked about putting microwaves in all housing. for low income or seniors. That's something that we can push for as a city that would adopt something like that, or a council. But you have to just remember, it's a broad idea, but it also has to be feasible and not, you know, it's like affordable cars only. You're not going to get that kind of proposal enacted. You know, it's got to be reasonable. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Linda Barcelona, do you have any goals that you'd like to share?
Okay, we had talked about the presentation that Elizabeth was going to get by the young man that just spoke last time. So something that we can do, and I've been wanting to do since we became aware of that project, the Tuscatella project that failed too, is become more involved with the pre-planning, pre-development, and maybe education of, to pave the way for these senior living communities. That is something that we can do as individuals, probably not as a group in an unofficial capacity, because like Cynthia said, we're just an advisory council to the county supervisors, but this is something that we can do as individuals. Maybe my 85-year-old potential residents of a senior community can't do that, but maybe I could sit there until 11 o'clock and speak on their behalf.
I agree. I don't know. I agree with that. That's good. Cynthia has her hand up.
Sorry, I didn't take it down.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, I agree with you. And that was one of the reasons I know we all want to think of ourselves as advocates, Helen, and I'd like to think I'm an advocate, but I have to agree with Cynthia. I've been on this committee for quite a while, and we've been told over and over as a group, we cannot go in and say, I sit on such and such committee and I'm advocating for whatever. But I think what we can do is learn from this committee and take some general broad goals and work on them. So to Linda's point, that's why I asked to have Zijian come back, because mm-hmm. I wanted to hear what he had to say, what went wrong. I mean, we can assume we think we went, no, but based on everything he said, I'm kind of at a loss, other than what Linda said, is to go sit at the council meetings and we can stay there till 10, 11 o'clock at night, which majority of the seniors in that community are probably not going to be able to do. So right. To me, I don't know if more involved is a strong enough statement, but something in that vein, I agree with you, Linda. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay. Do you have anything on transportation, Linda? You're muted.
No. Yeah, not really. That's not my thing is more in housing, but no, I don't really have that.
Okay.
Anything passionate about transportation right now.
Okay. Helen, did you have anything else on transportation? You're still muted.
I've been going through the master plan, and there are a number of things that I think we could advocate for, and it's really piggybacking on what Elizabeth suggested. You know, one of the recommendations in the plan is to improve community walkability and options for people around senior housing. I mean, that's something we could advocate for. We could also advocate, back to the housing, which is obviously my passion, for upcoming support of new senior communities. And we, Jamboree, has two underway, one in Huntington Beach and one in Costa Mesa. So we know we are going to need community outreach and advocacy for them. And we're not the only organization who are doing this. So perhaps to be more general on the housing recommendation, it could be advocate for upcoming senior housing communities and support access to alternative transportation surrounding them, or improve walkability around them.
I like to improve walkability because that's very specific. I like that a lot. Thank you. Amelia, do you have anything you'd like to share? Is she still with us?
I'm here. I'm gonna piggyback on the affordable housing for seniors, but and supporting these projects throughout the county.
Okay. Anything on transportation?
On transportation, I think the location of the senior centers is key. To have them in there's corridors to get them seniors to either senior centers or doctors, hospitals.
Are you saying where the senior centers are actually built?
Right, the location is important where they're going to be built too.
Oh, where they, because the majority of them that I know of are already built.
Mm-hmm. Right, but up and coming senior centers.
Oh, okay, new.
New ones.
New, mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right, good, thank you. How about Jerry? Do you have anything on housing?
I'm concerned is for the affordable housing. Right now the situation looks like not too many people can afford, for the housing market. And is the housing market still keep going like 2022? I got some forecasting as the housing, the price keep going every year. So how can we help the older seniors for afford the affordable housing? Is any strategy and any problem can issue we can solve this kind of issue, because of the housing price keep going every year, especially for the inflation also keeps going on. So do you have any idea or suggestion, say, we can help the senior for the affordable housing? That's it. That's my question.
Okay, and do you have anything for transportation?
The transportation, the problem is, they have some new construction for the 455 to widen, but it takes too long. They say, gonna be 2-3 years, and some project will be end of 2025. So I also don't understand why it takes so long for 2-3 years for one project. They can, put some more efforts, more labor to do that. Why it takes so, every project takes about 3-4 years, some 5 years. That's too long for the kind of effect of traffic. Okay.
Thank you very much. You're right. It does take too long.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I think Jean, oh, I'm sorry. Charlene has her hand up. I can't hear you, Charlene. Oh, Jean, you're back.
I just want to comment on Jerry's question, because I'm very sensitive about the transportation and the timelines sitting on OCTA. Jerry, when you say 3-5 years, it's not just a matter of construction building it. It's a matter of obtaining the proper permits and the property from the property owners. And if everybody wants to sell, it goes smooth. If they don't, then there's courts involved, and that's what drags it out. You can't just assume that, okay, the project's approved, let's go for it. Well, then you have to start getting permission from the various property owners and the stakeholders that are going to be impacted. That's what takes time. It's not the building. You're right. The building can be done fairly quick. It's all those that go with it. And assuming you can even get the materials. And right now, as you know, iron is difficult to get a hold of, and so that slows up construction. But that's the real issue.
I see. Yeah, thank you for your comments. Thank you.
Okay, and then was there somebody else that had their hand up that I missed? Was it Charlene? Oh, Charlene, sorry, go next.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of things. Are there resources that are currently available for this council on all of the types of housing that are available for seniors in the county? I think one of the things I'd like to see is to make sure that we are best equipped when I come to a meeting so that I know what's already out there, what's been successful, and how it has succeeded, as Helen had mentioned earlier. But aside from that, I think the walkability is a real issue in Costa Mesa. We have the towers across the street from the senior center, and I have last year, a couple of members of the center were walking across the street. They were on the, they were at the stoplight, stop sign, and a car jumped over the curb and took out, didn't kill anybody, but wound up having a couple of our seniors in assisted recovery for several months. And so those kinds of safety issues are really important about walkability as far as they are to our senior centers and other shopping centers. But I was, if we don't typically advocate, are we not a voice to connect to our supervisor or to our city council to bring the information on the housing issues and what we have here? We are armed to have a conversation every month after these meetings with our supervisor or with our council member in our district to let them know what is going on at this level so that, that they can be educated and do the work that we want them to do. So do I have a specific goal in either way? I really hope that we can increase public awareness of what we are trying to educate our community with. And also somehow have we looked at any kind of information that has been solicited through community input to represent the voices of the community on housing and transportation. So I know it doesn't sound very clear, but I think public awareness of what we're doing is really critical because the knowledge is coming right here with these 18 members, and we have to get that information to the people who are going to make change. So I don't think that's helped, but.
No, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Excellent. Jean, it's your turn. Did you want to say something? Or I know before you said you just agreed with whatever we had.
Well, I you're having some very good discussion. And it's clear that usually when these things get frustrating for people, like what was just mentioned about affordable housing and making aware of our councils, the only frustration that we have as a SCAC member, you can't say SCAC when you go before the council, but you can say, I'm a senior advocate, and I want to know what our council is doing about these issues. Boom, boom, boom. That you can do. And then you can also educate. You can say, council, what is your plan to avail yourself of more affordable housing for our senior population? Currently, we have X amount of units in the city. That's not enough to service our senior population. That's how you do that and make that educate your council, make that a priority. Council is where it's all at. They're the ones that will set the priority for the housing element, what's going to be built in your city. But you need to be voicing that on a regular basis. You know, I hate to say it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, but that's exactly what happens. If council doesn't hear from you, they assume there's no issue. They don't assume, oh, well, they already know this. No, they don't. They're going to go, it's kind of brush fire management. Whatever the immediate brush fire is, they're going to address. And that happens to be homeless, or it has to be, you know, housing, arena numbers. That's where the attention goes. So if you want to be an advocate, you can be, but you're an individual advocate. You're a citizen advocate. You just don't say SCAC, but you're still a senior advocate. And you've got a lot of power. Get your friends, get your neighbors. Come down. Councils love numbers. When numbers happen, they start moving. As far as transportation, I agree with, I think it was Elizabeth said, I think we do need to get some kind of affordable transportation to outlying areas. That has always been a critical issue. We try to, I know OCTA kind of goes by the numbers. If there's not a lot of people out in the outlying areas, they're not going to provide the transportation. Or if they do, you call and you kind of wait while everybody else gets picked up and you get picked up. It's not real. There's no taxi service. That's going to require a taxi private to do that. So, but I think something needs to be looked at that further. Anyway, that's my two cents, Andy.
Okay, great. Thank you. About Juno. Juno Kim, are you still on?
No, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In my community in Irvine, this is what's happening. We have two extreme cases here. Somehow the Irvine is known as a second Beverly Hills. A lot of people who has a lot of money from overseas wants to buy up in Irvine, especially Shady Canyons. As a result, the community old man, as I said before, I'm becoming more like a realtor to explaining what Irvine looks like. Even the cheapest affordable housing in Irvine is out of reach for most of the people. And there's no hope for the seniors with moderate income cannot come to live in Irvine. And the way I feel that the constructing the affordable housing in Irvine is done through politicians and the developers. Whatever we say, the senior citizens doesn't go far enough, doesn't do much. At this point, I'm working in my community, especially with a big church group, so that I can actually find some the sharing housing in the opportunity, like Elizabeth's the mansion, the sharing of the housing is very realistic way for me to help the communities. And the another situation that I'm encountering in Irvine is that there's a lot of struggle going on between the seniors, the wives and husbands. Because of a coronavirus or what, I do not know, but the husband do not go out. They stay home and the fight with wives. As a result, the wife wants to be separated at least for a while. That's why I think that finding a sharing housing is an important idea. I think that we should advocate. I don't know, you know, what I said, how much it's going to help the our committee, but this is the situation I face, and do as much as I can, what I can, you know, with a limited ability and influence. Thank you, that's all.
Okay, thank you very much. Next would be Jeanette.
I didn't hear what you said, but it's relating to transportation.
The next person speaking should be Jeanette. And I said, thank you for your comments.
Sandy, I believe there's a comment from Jeanette that she had another meeting she needed to excuse herself for.
Okay, thank you very much. Then the next one would be Amina. She's still with us? Amina, are you still here? I don't see her. Okay. And Dave is absent. So next would be Cynthia.
Okay. Again, I'm going to remind everybody on these goals are to present to the overall general and executive committee to eventually go on to a report that goes for goals. And, you know, so we need to be, a goal is something to achieve and stuff. So when you talk about roommates, there's already a bills in, it's an AP5, I think it is, having a roommate. If we want to do that, we need to see what already is on the books and or what changes are going to be suggested. And again, this is for an overall plan that will be presented to the supervisors. So, you know, having a roommate, if we want to investigate it, might be a very a good thing because there is room for that. Because sometimes when people keep saying affordable housing, again, it's not just the developer deciding how much money he wants to charge for this. It's all of the city and state and government taxes and regulations that add to all of these costs. So it's not just a simple matter of let's build affordable housing. You know, it's not necessarily, especially in California, period. And depending on which city you want to talk about, again, this is an overall county issue, not just a single city issue. So maybe having that as a goal would be a very great thing for us to push as something that we would look into more. And on the transportation, again, that's really difficult because there's so much regulations and stuff. And as Jean said, it's not just, okay, let's ask for seniors in remote area to get cheaper, renewable energy, you know, the cost factors and the flexibility and all that. But if that's a goal that, you know, we want to see if we can work on achieving as the master plan, then I would suggest that. That's it. And let's keep it to goals and not cities.
Keep it to goals and what? I missed the last part of what you said. Let's keep it to goals and what?
The goals for the overall county.
Overall county, okay. Denise.
Thank you. I really like this committee. So many suggestions and so much fruit. Low-hanging fruit to be taken, even if it goes to the Board of Supervisors or not. There's been a great amount of things that have come to fruition because of suggestions from all cities involved here. One in particular was the mobile home park, where people were getting just gouged with their rent because of one new landlord that came in. And Assemblywoman Sharon Quirk Silva very quickly went and had that championed to have that changed. And within 2 years it was changed. So these people are breathing again. You know, what was on life support, they're now breathing again. So please don't hold back from suggestions. I know what Cynthia is talking about. And we really, our time is very precious, but please, all of these will culminate through the years, no matter what. So with
That being said, I would like to champion under housing more for mobile home parks. In Anaheim, we have well over 15. Again, the only mobile home park that was impacted was because they are situated in two cities, Fullerton and Anaheim. And the governor saw that as a specific, no-brainer, let's get this going. So I was so glad that we were able to get that going. But dearly, in most of your cities, you have mobile home parks, and they are not protected by rent gouging. So please, you know, if we could put that on our radar, I think that would be very good for us for a start. And that's under housing, I would believe. The other one, as far as transportation, is I've seen many cities in South County be able to incorporate the golf carts. Mm-hmm. And just as cities did scooters, the electric scooters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can't see why we can't entertain that at some point in time. I know for sure that we have many outside resources to gather some information. Maybe we could have someone come and talk about the city of incorporating that resource and how it's working out for them. Is it fruitful for them? I'm interested in it. I think golf carts are great. Our city in Anaheim, we have this small transportation called Fran. And it is just that. It's like a small golf cart, but it's in downtown Anaheim, and you get on and you go to whatever restaurant, packing house, whatever, and it's affordable. And that way you get rid of all the cars and all that that's impacted in those areas, and people find it very safe. I think it might be something we might look into also. And then as far as housing, again, I think like we were talking about developers and city council, can we try to incorporate that a developer come in close to a fire station? If you have any land within a certain amount, if you notice, a lot of bills are generated from ambulances always coming out. Whereas if you are just a couple blocks away, that wouldn't be the case so much. The paramedic can just walk to the facility, go up and see what's going on. I know that happened in downtown Long Beach a couple months ago, and we were so grateful. So these are some of the things I'd like to see put on our radar, if possible. And then also, if you have opportunity, excuse me, go to your senior citizen clubs that meet every month and be able to glean information from them, see what their types of surveys are for what they would like to see. Sometimes it's just transportation to the senior center. Sometimes it's just having a town meeting and to find out, like Jean said, you know, to communicate with your residents. That helps a lot for us to know what's the burning question and how can we get this done, you know, so we can advocate and really move these things forward in the next year. So anyway, that's just a couple of things on my list.
That's great.
Thank you.
I just have a question for you. I'm not familiar with the golf cart. I mean, I know what a golf cart is, but what are you talking about specifically? Like they have rental of golf carts?
No, actually we used, I believe it was grant money under transportation. Uh-huh. And so we bought a fleet of, if you probably type in Anaheim, Fran, F-R-A-N.
Okay.
You'll see that they're just wonderful. They're even within, I would say, a 1 to 2 mile distance from a huge area in central downtown.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, it's electric, it's not, you know, all these things that we can incorporate and steal from other cities if you want to use those dollars and tell your city council, are we looking into this? So that way they can promote and start generating that information for you.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Those are very good. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Let's see. Carol Moore is new. Are you on?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay, do you have something you'd like to share?
Actually, I don't think I've been approved, and I noticed that my name is not called when you have roll call, so I don't think I'm participating yet. Thank you.
Okay. Did I miss anyone else that's on the approved list? Okay. So I'm going to ask the group how you'd like to do this. We have quite a few ideas. I've been taking notes. We have a few repeats. Walkability came up quite a bit. And would you like to make a motion to start with housing? And then we'll take a vote. Is that the best way for the group to do this? I haven't done this before, so I'm not really. That's what I would suggest. Is there a motion to make one of the goals for housing?
So moved.
Okay, which one would you like to move on?
I would like to start with housing.
Okay. And what would you be your goal for housing?
Well, definitely, as Cynthia mentioned, affordability is a huge umbrella. So we'd have to narrow it down to senior affordable housing projects, which Helen would definitely be our best resource for as projects develop throughout the county. And I would like to see us be able to define what goes in that affordable housing, whether it's amenities or where it's placed. As property comes up throughout the county, we can talk about even a component of a care center or care component. So that way we kind of wrap it all in one package.
A care component, what do you mean by that?
You know what? We might even suggest an ADU, additional dwelling unit, okay, or a unit there at the facility where caregivers can come and rest and have some downtime, even though they're there 24/7 at the facility for somebody. But it would be a needed and well thought of a component to.
Okay. I'm trying to think of how we could make this motion, maybe like one or two sentences, and then let the group vote on it. So what you're talking about for housing is senior projects that are being developed in the county?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm trying to think of the rest of this. You want
to- Well, location is definitely one of them.
Right.
And the location would preferably be within half a mile or quarter mile within a fire station. So that way ambulance care would be very rapid and very very expedient to get to them. And then with that, anybody else chime in? Then also in the development, a unit that is used for the care and downtime of caregivers.
Okay. So I'm going to try to paraphrase this now.
And you could probably separate some of those. Some may not fly right away, but you know, if you go ahead and incorporate one or two, and then everybody says, no, that's a little pushing it too much, but you know, I'm just thinking big, because the sooner we get or push for these things, wow, what a jewel, you know, be really nice.
Well, it's good to say something specific, like near a fire station. I would have never thought of that, but it makes total sense. So if we put it out there, it sort of starts getting everyone thinking.
Sure.
Anybody else have any comments?
Just that, remember, these are going to go to our general meeting in February, I believe, and be put into a big old package. So right now you might want to just do the bullet points type thing, but we will be discussing this more and then be presenting it overall to a big group that then decides what is included and not included. So these are just suggestions.
Right. I think they all know that, because I think last year none of ours got picked, if I remember right.
Yeah,
we picked the disabled placards and what was the other one?
Well, the, you know, and as wonderful as that disabled packer and the hours, it wasn't feasible. You know, regulation. We have to think about the cost of regulation and how the city is going to deal with these things. And so they're going to get kicked out if they're not feasible within a city to regulate it.
Right. Anybody else? Any comments? Okay. Denise, repeating back, let's try to see if we can kind of compact this or narrow it down. So then we'll call for a second motion and then we'll vote on it to see if everyone's good with this. So what I have so far is senior housing projects developed in the community within, what do you want to say, 1 to 2 miles of a fire station?
We can start with that.
Does that sound
but
good?
I think a mile is a pretty good radius.
Okay.
Considerable radius.
Okay, so within 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part I think starts getting us out there too far. So I mean they're all good points. But I think
then start with two.
No, I was gonna say the next part where you were talking about caregivers. No.
Yes.
I think they're all valid points. It's just that we don't want to make it too broad that we get too far out there is what I'm getting at.
Right.
So within 1 mile, how about 1 to 2 to make it a range? Would that be okay?
I think so. See, living in Anaheim, everything's so spread out. So we only have so many fire stations, but in other cities, it might be really, you know, they have the fire station in the middle of the city and or several, and it fits their community. So does other people have fire stations within 2 miles of any kind of senior community?
No, but you really don't have like in Fullerton, there's 6 of them, but there's no really land unless you're going to take away a strip mall or something, and they're not going to do that to build affordable, and then it doesn't become affordable. But I do like the idea that Elizabeth talked about last year, that maybe if you want to do an object is to have builders incorporate microwaves. It was a wonderful suggestion, a very valid one, that they start including that in the makeup of their presentations and builds.
I agree. That's also maybe even a small dog park. People are just going to be coming up and down an elevator to what? To walk their dog. I mean, these are the kind of comfort things that people buy into. And affordable housing might just mean 10% of that project. It's not the whole project. So I'm just saying, if people are really want to and have in a city something affordable, it's going to be a percentage. It's not going to be completely 100%. But give them all the amenities up front. We shouldn't have to beg for these things.
No, but look at Elizabeth's point that they weren't there and none of us even caught it except her. So you're right, we shouldn't have to beg for them, but evidently we have to.
Well, we have to put them on their radar.
Right.
And then say, why not? Why not?
And that's kind of what you're doing with the fire station. I would have never have thought of that. And that's good to put on their radar. I don't know how realistic it is, but it's getting out on their radar.
Well, it's going to come from the county. And you have to listen to them. You have to listen to the state. You have to see all these bills that are coming down for housing and other types of rules we have to abide by. And they are going to mandate that in the city, whether the city council wants it or not, unfortunately. So may as well put our 2 cents in early and see what happens.
Okay.
Because we know the master plan's going to be 1 in 4 people that need that.
Right.
Senior. So yeah, thank you.
All right. So that's Denise's motion. And then we need a second. All right. I'll second it.
I think I'll second it.
Oh, yeah. Cynthia will second it. Okay, great. And then it's up for discussion then. Anyone have any comments on it before we take the vote?
I think it would be great if we have the broad strokes in this motion at being advocates for these kind of affordable housing solutions, and maybe the language could be including access to amenities such as proximity to fire stations, wordsmithing some of this. We probably not going to do a very good job of wordsmithing during the meeting. So,
Ellen, how about this? How about after the meeting, you help me with the wordsmithing?
I'd be happy to help with that. And I think Desiree has probably captured a lot of the concepts. So perhaps we could see if we could integrate them into something and bring it back as a recommendation, because I think we have a little time, don't we, before the February presentation of this. So if we can capture some of these concepts into one or two general recommendations for the committee, would that be helpful?
Sure, that'd be great. I'm just trying to get the base done. Yeah.
And I like Denise's, you know, specifics as well, but I think, you know, for the purposes, Cynthia's made us understand the reality of what's going to happen with this. So if we can keep it fairly general and for our own discussion, incorporate some of these concepts. If you're okay, maybe we don't even need, unless we need to vote on this, I think we could wordsmith it a bit from all the valuable conversations that we've had this morning.
Okay.
Very good, Helen. I think you well said.
So we don't. You don't think we need to vote on this?
Well, we can if we want to.
You can vote since you've got a motion. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
But she's right. We, you know, put it together even after we voted, or take away the vote and put it together in an email and let us kind of comment on it for February, yeah, because that way we're going to look more professional in the long run. Yeah. Don't forget adding microwaves though.
Yeah.
I like Elizabeth's idea.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot last year, and every time I think about our new senior communities, I remember we need microwaves. But we've typically provided them. It's just, you know, whether you can build them in is really an expensive solution in affordable housing. So we may have to come up with different ways of getting that microwave rather than building it into the kitchen. Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy to work with you, Sandy. And if Desiree can help us with the...
I think since we've started, we'll just go ahead and take a vote and let's... We'll just make it real simple. I don't know if this is official. Anyone opposed to the potential motion we've made? How's that?
No.
Okay. So that will be our vote. That'll be, and we'll reword it so it's a little more eloquent. How's that for a word? Oh, you're back, Elizabeth?
I was here the whole time.
Oh, I thought you sent a note that I just popped up on my screen. You had to leave.
Uh-oh. At 5 minutes before 11, I do.
Oh, okay. And then the next one would be our transportation goal. So we had several people talk about walkability. And then it was a really good one from Denise on golf carts. And two people talked about rural areas, but I kind of agree that I don't know if we can... You know, we always have a problem with rural areas. If you look at the access report, that's always a problem.
Mm-hmm. So do you want us to come up with a motion to capture those concepts?
I think it'd be good. I think we've got a lot on walkability, about 3 or 4 people brought that up. And then there's also the one with the golf carts, but maybe we could incorporate both of those somehow.
Yeah.
If we word it properly.
Because so many cities are really addressing bikeability and walkability right now, and this is certainly the time to capture that kind of support for our seniors and their safety. And I'd love to support your idea with the Franz. I think that is really exciting.
Yeah, I do too. So if we could figure out a wording, I know they're kind of two different issues, but let's throw them in there and see if we can figure out, unless anyone's opposed to that. I like them both very much.
Okay, so explore alternative transportation options such as improved walkability and access to golf carts such as the Anaheim Fran program around senior communities.
I would second that.
Yeah.
Great.
I hope you got it, Desiree. I can't remember.
Got explore alternative options and improved walkability. And then I missed part of it, something about the golf cart and the Fran project. Is that close?
Did you get it, Desiree? Can you repeat it?
I don't have it written down, but we do have this recorded. I can definitely go back and listen to it and send it to you, Sandy.
Oh, great. That'd be perfect.
Okay.
So anyone opposed to that? Okay. So I would say we've all pretty much voted that those are our two goals. I appreciate everybody. That's really good. Any other comments on the goals?
I just want to add, I don't want to lose sight also of, I think that was you, Denise, that mentioned the mobile home parks.
Mm-hmm.
That is a community that is oftentimes overlooked and neglected. So if it's not in our goal, I think it really needs to be on our radar.
Well, we've had, I agree with you. We've had several presentations on the mobile home park. So mm-hmm. we haven't ignored them. We just have never put anything in writing. Maybe.
So I think we, in the mobile home conversation, we added under housing and mm-hmm. maintain access to affordable housing, such as mobile home parks.
Okay.
That gives us our advocacy.
Perfect.
That would be good.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We have mobile home parks ourselves that we run in Irvine, a big one, 300 units.
Yeah. So
familiar with that affordable need.
I have a question, and I know Denise, is she still on? She knows the most about this. On mobile homes, which I think is a positive thing that we should be advocating. Denise, does that more affordability, or in reference to that one mobile home that was skyrocketing in prices, I understand some of them on a 99 lease, then after there. How can we effectively, promote as a goal to help mobile homes?
It was really under rent gouging. I mean, the guy came in and just, ran up their rent a good over 65% in one swoop of a new lease because he was the new owner. And the old owner had not been incrementally, raising the rent. And so when they got hit with this, they were just flabbergasted because he was the same owner of the one in Huntington Beach that had done the same thing. And so they thought they were done with him. And here he comes in and does that. So
can we have, do we have, what kind of, as a city council, what kind of, advocacy can we talk about when it comes to rent control? Where can we be effective on that kind of legislation or whatever?
Well, I thought it was curious that, as you said, City Council Fullerton stepped right in and said, no, we're putting a moratorium on it. And, those people on the Fullerton side didn't have to indulge in any part of that rent increase for like 90 days until the governor. But see, even the governor said, there's going to be a rent cap or a rent moratorium, but it didn't impact them because they were mobile homes, not homes and apartments. Anaheim, however, just looked the other way and tabled it, and people suffered all through that.
So,
until Assemblywoman's bill passed, and now he can't do anything. He has to stick by the lease. But you said City Council. As us here today, I would like to make sure that any mobile home parks, whether they be in county property or city property, that we make the governor aware that and the Board of Supervisors aware that they still represent those people. And if in some way we can help protect them with a cap of how much that rent can be raised, that would be wonderful.
I think that would be noble of us and a worthwhile objective.
That's the way the assembly bill was penned. And I think that we would be well within the boundaries of the same parameters that were set. And that would save them, you know, again, from somebody coming in and just rent gouging. So you put a cap and then the cost of living, of course. And so that way they're never more than 5% ever.
So I suggest not just under affordable housing, we have a new objective here and goal. Because again, the more goals we kind of present, we might have more of an opportunity to get one of them on the master plan. So maybe Denise, you can help write something for us.
Denise, I have a question for you though, but isn't this different because it's on leased land and they lease is 99 years and aren't the rules different? I mean, I don't know that, I'm not challenging you, but I don't know that there's much we can do, right? Because of it's not owned land.
Actually, the lease is written, yes, that it's only, you never, actually, there's one or two mobile home parks that they do. Their charter is different and they do pay and they pay the taxes. Right. These are all other mobile home parks where you're only leasing the land, the dirt. And so, you know, it's horrible.
And that one presentation that she gave us, I thought she said there was nothing that could be done about it because it's leased land, not owned land by the individuals in the mobile home. Like in Irvine, they saw this problem coming. And so the homeowners all got together and they actually bought the land from the owner.
That is an option, yes.
And so now they're a part of all the rules of rent control and everything in the housing. But mm-hmm. She told us a mobile home was classified, it's not a car, but like a vehicle because it can move. And so there were different rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But the thing is, rent control, as you know, if you own property, you're under as a rental, you have rent control. So somewhere, maybe that's what I'm saying, we need to really look into and help maybe fix that loophole.
Well, that would be very major if you can do that, because it's been like that forever that I know of. I mean, we've heard numerous presentations. I've heard them everywhere, not even just at the housing and transportation. And we've always been told there's nothing they can do because it's not a home on an owned piece of land. It's a movable piece of property. Not that you're going to move them very often, but it is movable. So it's classified differently. And so it doesn't fall under the parameter of all the rules under rent control and everything.
I agree. And I remember one of the presentations with one of the ladies that had food distribution and they were having difficulties because of the same classification. It wasn't really considered, you know, but it's a lofty goal, but you know, maybe it's something that we can start to think about and address and make aware of.
Right. And that's good to make people aware of it. So maybe there's somehow we could put it in with our housing goal. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just, I don't know if it's very feasible.
Let me talk to Assemblywoman Quirk Silva, because I think what we're lacking is that is a very old definition of a mobile home. As you know, these days it's not that definition. And once you define that to the new revised, then it falls into a whole different ball of wax and can be qualified then. But a lot of things have not been updated, and so they suffer because of that. Maybe it's up to housing somewhere to redefine that. Let me look into that. We shouldn't be too, hasty to fall into that till we know what we know. So
that's a very good point. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can confirm that the mobile homes fall under the California Vehicle Code rather than the real estate codes.
Right.
So that it has been that way since I got my real estate license the first time in 1980, and it's been that way ever since I can remember, and it's part of the real estate exams. It's, yeah, they are separate codes. So I don't know. And, you know, and then there are separate taxes for the mobile homes, but there may be some exclusions, and it would have to come from your state assembly to change it.
Yeah.
Because it's state.
So let me look at that. Yeah. Thank you.
You're correct in that it falls under DMV. Mm-hmm. And the mobile home parks in Anaheim, these people were being charged. He was bringing up their lease to market rent, because for many years it was below market rent. And it came across as gouging because, which is bringing it up to what the market rent is these days. But yes, it does fall under the DMV part. It's not the same.
California Vehicle Code.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the governor did sign her bill shows enough wisdom in that he recognizes people being definitely taken advantage of and corrected in that instance. So maybe it's something to continue to investigate.
Yeah,
because we do need to represent them. There's a lot of people.
Okay, so her bill that was passed and the governor signed, it didn't correct the situation. Am I hearing you right? What did her bill do?
It corrected in that he could not continue at the percentage he was proposing and making it mandatory that they sign this lease, that they were going to be locked into this increase year after year. It nixed that. So yeah, it corrected it to the a cap and then the cost of living in there. So it was very reasonable at that point. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, anything else on goals? Okay, so go back to our agenda. Number 7 is the action items. And the AB 360 review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. I don't think we have to vote on that because we did it at the last meeting, right?
We actually do. We actually do need motion and roll call vote.
Okay, so we need to make a motion on action item AB 361. Do I have a motion?
So move.
So Denise, second. And the second was?
Charlene,
any discussion? Yes. Okay, so then we'll do the roll call vote then for this.
Yes. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Oh, she had to check out early, she said.
Helen Cameron? Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
Juno Kim?
Yes.
Jeanette Revia? Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Tetzlaff?
Exactly.
Cynthia Thacker? And we do have a majority.
Okay, great, thank you. And then number 8, announcements and roundtable discussions. All members' comments should be limited to 1 minute unless the chair sets different time limits. Going around the computer. Any announcements or comments? Okay. I don't want to cut anybody off. Okay. Number nine, do we have any public?
We did not receive any comments ahead of time, and we do not have any public attendees at this time.
Okay, thank you. And then reminder, the next meeting will be February 10th. And then I think, Desiree, you sent out the housing and transportation presentation schedule, right? Okay, so we have speakers for February and March. And so the first 3 months are on housing. So then one for April, we need transportation. Anybody would like to step up and do transportation for April?
I can try to get a Fran presentation if you'd like.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Okay.
Terrific. I'll pencil it in.
Okay, great.
And then let me know. And then we're going to call it Golf Carts Fran.
Just Fran presentation having to do with, mobile transportation. Okay. Electric mobile transportation. Yeah.
Thank you, Denise. All right. Anybody else want to do anything for May and transportation? Jean, do you want to give us an update on thing with the freeways and the toll lane and all that junk on the 405?
And that's for May?
Yeah.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay. That'd be perfect.
Dollars for actual improvement.
That's about time for that, don't you think? Okay. We have a few more minutes. I don't want to cut anybody off. Anybody have any other comments or concerns?
What's the date in May on that, Sandy?
May would be the 12th.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a comment regarding masks. I was able to secure about 300 masks from Supervisor Chafee's office. Oh. You have to go down and pick them up, but they do have them. And if you're willing to go get them, they're wonderful to pass out. I go to the Meals on Wheels. We have over 300 cars come through once a week. And so I'm able to distribute them. They are the N95, so, and others, but you do have a resource to be able to get them out to your seniors.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. Anybody else? All right, I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So move.
Okay. Any discussion?
Second, Jean Hernandez.
Jean seconded, great, thank you. Any discussion? Thank you, everyone. It was a great meeting, and I think we did a good job on the goals. Appreciate everyone's support.
Thank you, Sandy.